Hello and welcome to another episode of the Muscle and Hustle podcast. I hope you are really well. Thank you to everybody who tunes in every single week. It means a lot. And I think everybody's sort of wanting to know how the Iceman event went. So we'll dive straight into that. And I think, Mickey, you've got questions from people, listeners. And I'll let you take lead because I don't want to just rant about it. So we'll dive into this for a bit and just see where it goes and see what tangents it takes. So, Mickey, over to you, big dog.
Right, guys, we have loads of questions, but mostly it is, the main question is, Tony, was it as cold as it looks?
It was actually, in my opinion, I think we made it look like it wasn't that cold. I think we made it look easier. Yeah, it was like really cold. Like, I'm going to be honest, I think the temp most times was somewhere around 1 to 3 degrees. Like majority of the flowing water was fine. Like, it wasn't sealed over. The rest of it was in and out of snow, frozen bits and pieces. I tried not to post too much because I wanted to immerse myself really in the experience, because it was like, it wasn't mentally groundbreaking, but I knew if you didn't zone in, you could find it difficult. Like, I know we prepped quite a long time period, so if you didn't do the prep, I think it would have been more difficult. But yeah, was it as cold as that? It was pretty, like, anyway, like, it was cold. Like, I'll not bullshit you, but I don't think it was as cold as I thought it was gonna be.
Was it as cold to the point of like you weren't gonna fall over? Like, what, you know, like literally your body breaks down, you know, your body gives up? Because I've seen a few videos of ones before doing it, and I don't know if they're doing it for drama or they're being real, but they were like, you know, season up sort of thing. But then again, comes as you said, you might be prepared.
Well, it is, yeah, different sides as well. So, like, for example, like, on the fourth day, near the second last day, we done like ice baths to failure, which was pretty much in the Polish mountains. We done 5 minutes in, 5 minutes out, 5 minutes in, 5 minutes out, 5 minutes in, yeah, 5 minutes out, or like 4 minutes in, whatever, out. And I'm going to be honest, that's something I was really not used to, because we're used to just getting in, sticking it out, versus getting out, drying a little bit, and then getting back in, sucked balls so much. And on the third or fourth round of that, they turn around to us and she goes, "This one's to failure." And I sort of like looked at her and like, "What?" I didn't say it, but I was like, "What the fuck's that mean?" And she was just like, "This one goes on until you're done." Like, and I was like, "Right, well, so we'll see how this goes." And what's interesting is the eight of us got in our side and eight got in the other tub. So it was only me, Helmy, and Owen in our group that was there. Daniel, Emmett, and Ram were in a different tub. So we were in our group together and I had my eyes closed. And what was interesting was, as the minutes moved on and it got very long, like it got maybe 78 minutes in, you could feel like the water move and you could tell people were getting out. You could tell people were...
But you kept your eyes closed?
I kept my eyes closed until about, I think it was on the video whenever I recorded, maybe like 9 minutes, and then about 7 minutes, 78 minutes in, I opened my eyes, 9 minutes, and it was just me, Burke, and Helmy, and the three of us just sitting there on the ice, and I was like, fuck, I was like, this is getting a little bit tight now. That was after you'd already done maybe like, Joe, 20, 30 minutes topless run about, yeah, in and out. And then that was the only time I was like, this is getting quite difficult. Like, I'm not fighting this easy. I was moving through gears. Like, I went from second to third, probably max. And she then came over to me and was like, right, you know, we're gonna have a bit of a chat with you here. And she was talking to us and she was like, right, I want you to start moving your hands, dunk your head, move your feet. Cause if you hold in the one position, you get nice and warm.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Versus when she makes you move, you break your heat bubble and then it's cold. And she was making us do that. And then she was like, right, well, get comfy if you're planning on staying, because you can be here as long as you want. And then she disappeared for a couple of minutes, was talking to them, came back to me, made me move again, then started doing the stuff of like, you can get out, nobody will know, you know, it doesn't really matter. Joe, you already proved enough to yourself, all this stuff. And I was like, I'm okay, I'm just going to sit here, I'm nice and warm. And then eventually about another 3-4 minutes went by, and then she called us all up and goes, you've stayed in max exposure time, like, you're not legally, like, we're, yeah, not keeping you any longer, you just get hypo. So me, Helmy, and Burke had to get dragged out, really. And then when we got out there, she was like, you're not allowed to heat up. And I was like, what? She was like, you as well have hypothermia 100% for the time period in the water, so you just have to sit on the ground and cool from the fastest way possible. So she goes, you're in the ice, sitting on the ground. Now you need to just sit in the ground with the ice for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Then you can get up and stand. And see, sitting on the ground soaking wet after 30, 40 minutes of fucking about in and out of the ice, the wind's pelting off you. It's just shit.
Yeah.
And it's shite. And that was muck. And my hands were spasming because of that. And then, to be fair to Helmy, you know, like they didn't find that as difficult as I. Like, well, don't get me wrong, I didn't quit.
If anybody's ever seen Helmy, he's one of the hairiest human beings
alive
I've ever seen. His back hair is sublime. It's like a rug.
Yeah, I said that. I goes, you're cheating. You're wearing a jumper, and we were having the crack anyway. So then, eventually they took us. That was that task, and that was probably the hardest thing we'd done. And when they brought me inside, they were like, right, you're going to need to go off with this instructor. And I was like, why? And they were like, because, like, when they were looking at me, they were like, you're not getting warm. We can tell. They were like, you've got a wee bit of hypo. So I had to go and do a load of breathing exercises and heat myself up more. Not like in the sauna, but like slow and steady. Because they were like, if you heat up too fast, you can go into shock.
Yeah.
So they were like, you did sort of. So I'm happy enough because that shows I pushed my body to where it was probably a breaking point, but my mind didn't break and I wanted that.
Yeah.
But I still feel like I had way more gears to go. Like, I felt like I could have went more. At no point was I like, I'm going to quit. Like, at no point was I like, don't get me wrong, I feel like the other boys were like that as well. It wasn't an ego thing too, but that was quite difficult. The waterfall was quite difficult. It was like 10, 15 minutes in a waterfall, 10 minutes in a waterfall, 40 minutes, no drying after. Then the mountain hike was like 2 hours up a mountain, but it actually wasn't that bad, in my opinion. Like, I didn't really struggle with that whatsoever. We were having the crack the whole way up. You were allowed to chat, Joe. Well,
that was the one where you were just wearing shorts and your, like, boots and your socks.
Shorts, boots, and spikes because the ice.
Yeah.
And bits and pieces of snow, bits and pieces of ice. But, like, it was just a mountain climb. Like, it was, like, 2 hours, 20 up. And to be honest, like, don't get me wrong, it wasn't easy, but it wasn't fucking, like, it's funny because I always feel colder after. Like, I put on all my clothes afterwards and I'm then colder then because my body's like not fighting anymore. Yeah. But like, I say it wasn't difficult, but then like I heard on the last day, and I don't know, apparently this is true, apparently a woman died on the Thursday in one of the groups from like the cold and then the breathing work. She died in the breathing work after, and then 4 or 5 people took fits after the baths and like the breathing work.
She had a heart attack or something.
I don't know, yeah. So, like, but I've heard that before. Like, I've heard that. And do you know what? It's very culty. It's very fucking culty.
Well, I think Wim Hof is, that's how, you know, that's how he's got his following. Because, you know, everything does from the singing to the drums, it's all very fucking cult. Like,
It's very tribalistic.
Like,
oh, mate, I said this. Like, and I'm not saying this to be funny, but if a man like him jumped out of a bush on the Omar Road to me, I would turn around and said what he says. I'd be like, mate, don't touch me. I wouldn't be worshiping him like a messiah. The breath work is very intense. Like, see the first day we done the breath work, he made you lie down and do the breath work for 100 minutes straight.
Yeah.
100 minutes of just, they're forced. Like, if anybody ever, if you imagine, breathe in through the belly, in through the lungs, in through the upper chest, exhale hard and repeat for 100 minutes, you'd be fucking hallucinating. Like, it's fucking intense.
You do get dizzy from that, don't you? Like,
that's the whole point. Yeah. I think the whole point is to get you dizzy. Apparently it releases some DMT. It does give you visions. But like, I'd be in and out of consciousness with it. Like, I'd be in and out of like sleep. Like, it'd be knocking me out because you'd be losing. So, and then he'd be, see, after like 5 minutes of doing it, he's like, right, we're going to breath hold. And he can make you breath hold for like 4 minutes, like you'd be fucking gasping, like, and like sometimes I don't know whether I fell asleep or whether I passed out from holding my breath or what.
Do you think that's kind of like you almost hypnotize yourself because you're breathing
100%?
And then you, like, as you said, you lost track of time and you're like, fuck, was I out there or was I just in like a flow state?
Yeah, exactly. So, like, you might do all them breaths, right? And then you'll do a breath hold for maybe, you have no clue. He'll not tell you how long it is.
Yeah.
Some of the times it feels super short. Sometimes they feel like an eternity.
Yeah.
And then you forget you're holding your breath and you sort of don't realize, you're like, was I sleeping there? Was I awake? Was I unconscious? And then you hear, breathe out. But when you breathe out, you have to hold again. And you're like, fuck me. And then you're holding again for a minute or two. And then Like, you'd be waking up and you're like, what the fuck's going on? It feels strange. Like, don't get me wrong, I'm all for breath work, but it's very forced. There was a lot of people like screaming and stuff during some of the parts of the breath work.
What, screaming as in like pain?
Like mixtures of, you turn around and people, like, everybody's got their eyes closed, but if you open your eyes and have a look around, like, some people are crying, some people are going, like, is it, and you're like, what the fuck's that cunt doing? Like, and
like, they're almost choking, sort of.
No,
thing.
No, no, they're like, you're like, or they'd be breathing and they're going, hoo, hoo, oh. And you're like, some people are choking, some people are fucking sleeping, you hear somebody else is snoring in the corner, and then somebody else is fucking taking a fit, and you're like,
fuck,
what the fuck is going on here? Like, and then loads of people are like, Joe, Zen and yoga and hugging each other. And don't get me wrong, I'm into all the spiritual side of things. Yeah. I am, but I also do believe in the breath work. But I also believe that, like, it felt like a lot of people were looking for answers, and it felt like the first time they'd actually paused and spent 100 minutes just sitting thinking about it.
Yeah, yeah.
The ice baths were great too. Like, don't get me wrong, it was good crack. I've got loads of pictures. I've got a couple of pictures of Wim too. I didn't want to be polluting everybody. We got them underneath the waterfall and stuff, so it's good crack. It wasn't an easy challenge, but it was nowhere near as difficult as I thought it was going to be. But then whenever I talked to other people in the course, they found it quite difficult. Like, so I think it was just the prep we had done. Like, when you think about the prep we had done, I was meeting a bloody bridge in Newcastle, dark, 20 minute hike up topless in the water for 20 minutes, out for 20 minutes, 20 minute hike down. So, like,
oh, were you already hiking topless in Ireland? Yeah. Oh, I didn't know that.
I was walking the streets topless in the mornings and stuff too, doing my messages. So, like,
fuck, I was sick.
I was well, I thought I was gonna get, don't get me wrong, I got blitzed, but like, I was getting up at 4 or 5 a.m. here, and if it was drizzling outside, I was going for a couple laps of the estate for maybe 20, 30 minutes just getting acclimatized. Like,
well, your top off.
Top off, I shorts.
I didn't know that at all. I'm actually surprised nobody got a video of that ever. When, what the fuck's
4 or 5 in the morning? It's dark. Like, I'm doing my messages on my, doing my client messages or Joe stuff I got there. But it's funny because, like, don't get me wrong, it wasn't easy, but I'm not saying this in a cocky perspective. I think most people, if you don't prep for it, you would find it very difficult. If you're average Joe, you've only taken a few ice baths, yeah, it would be really tough and mentally break you. For the prep I done for it, I found I didn't even really get into, I maybe got into third gear briefly.
So was there 400 people that did it? No.
There was a couple hundred people that done it and broken up into groups of 30.
Did you notice, like, people disappearing, like, was quitting during it?
See, the problem is you're allowed to tap out but still stay in the group.
Oh, right.
So, like, our ice baths, like, only us three stayed the full length.
Yeah.
But there's eight in our ice bath. But the thing is, and Dargan's group, only three stayed, I think, as well. So out of every in our group, out of, like, say, the 20, 21 people, like, only six actually done the entire time period.
Yeah.
Or seven. And, like, it wasn't like you were just flaking off, they weren't coming back. Like, they could come back the next day and do whatever they can. Or, but, like, yeah, like, I don't think it was as intense as it's made. I think it was probably, as I said, it's intense if you're not prepped. But, like, I was walking the streets fucking topless, and I was hiking the mountains topless, and we were in the water for 15, 16 minutes. Sometimes a bloody bridge over Christmas. So, like, and then not drying after. So, like, I'd done the prep.
Yeah.
I was too nervous to not do the prep. I think if I hadn't done the prep, I would have found that a very mentally exhausting week, whereas I didn't find it like that at all. Wait, and I'm actually very happy with
what
that.
What were you nervous about?
Mate, I thought it was going to kill me. Like,
oh, like, nervous that you couldn't hack it at all?
I thought it really test my mouth. Like, I pride myself on one thing,
yeah,
and it's the ability not to quit. Like, I always say I won't quit. I don't quit. So, like, even when she was kind of wearing the ice bath and being like, you know, you can get out now. You, there's no harm in just quitting. I was like, I don't quit. Like, I was like, I'd rather fucking die in this ice bath than get out, because that's my identity. That's who I am.
Yeah.
I was like, I was like, that is all I have. I was like, that's all that matters to me. It sounds a bit intense, but for me, that's one of the main things that built me. So to then quit when nobody's looking and lie or something wouldn't be me. So you can see it with the way I speak. Like, as soon as she said that word, I was like, I would rather go out now. I would rather die in this fucking ice bath in Poland and go, I didn't quit, than get out. And because I would have to go back. I'd be back next year because I didn't do it.
Yeah.
And Wim doesn't always take them. Wim only takes the odd one anymore. So it was probably better that way. But no, it was good. It was different. It was something like a really good challenge. I think for most people, they would really find that intense. And like, it is strutting around Poland in fucking 1 degree with your top off the entire time, like, and it's a very different trip, like, but yeah, like, I'm happy enough to say, like, I didn't crack, didn't break, got through it, passed it. I'll take cold water with me, but to the extent of that with a breath working, I'll probably not need it. I just done it more for a challenge.
Is he very hands-on when on that one? Like, is he...
You'd swear he's like a... Do you know, like a Woody from Toy Story where they pull the thing on the back of him and he just says catchphrases?
Yeah? Is that the way
all the power, water, power. You're like, mate, what the fuck are you saying? you're laughing, but like, don't get me wrong, he is involved with it. Like, he wasn't taking us all one to one, but like, you got time with him, you got a small chat with him. They do treat him like Jesus fucking Christ, though. Like,
I think people do believe he is like a higher
power.
Like a higher power. So
definitely animalistic and stuff. Like, I don't get me wrong, I do believe the cold water, like, he's very anti-medication, very anti-Western medication, like, Western medicine, very into the ground and earth, and I think there's a lot said for that. Like, I do think a walk, cold water, good mindset, good discipline, good breathing work, good sunlight, like, I feel like all that does help you a lot. Like, I think, I don't believe there's right or wrong, I think it's obviously what works for you, but I do believe too many people do rely on just fucking, you've got a little bit of anxiety, here's medication.
Yeah.
So rather than sort the root of the issue. So I do believe in that. So I think there is merit to it. I think there is sides of it. I'm not bashing it by any means. I just think it's one of the things where I think with everything in that line and everything in the Western world, the Eastern world, I like to take what complements my life and I feel works for me and add to it. Like, I don't want to be living on medication for the rest of my life, but I also don't feel I need to get in the ice every single day for the next 50 years to be in a good place or do an hour breath work. So yeah, whatever questions or anything else you want to dive in.
Most of them you covered them, just about how hard it was. Let's see what else was
I'd say most people close to breaking or at past breaking point. Yeah. If you do a prep like we did, which mine was 175, mine was 6 months. Like, I didn't even get out of third. Like, I got into third if even. Fair enough, I did nearly fucking get hypothermia, but like, my mindset never broke because I was well fucking used to it. Like,
another one is, was there anything that you're going to implement from your weekend that for going forward?
For me personally, I still am going to do cold water most days, if not every day. I'm not going to be as disciplined with it in terms of I need to do it every single minute and be in the cold tub. I'm going to make sure it complements my life, doesn't complicate it. Whereas at the end, spending fucking 15 minutes in a cold water tub trying to heat up, it was taken away from my day. Whereas I do love, and I'm going to be honest with you, I love a cold shower because it's the same time. You're in, you're out. If anything, it's quicker and I get the same energy boost. And I love doing it around midday because it's just after my coffee cutoff time, say 1 or 2 p.m. No more caffeine's allowed in because I'm in bed about 7 hours later. And it's a good energy lift. And I also love going for dips with people, getting a sea dip, having a good cup of coffee after, connecting. Or if my head's in a bit of a bad spot, I find the sea or the cold water always reframes me, going for a dip. I noticed that a lot after my breakup. It really recentered me and the endorphins you get. So for me, it's just a matter of keeping that. And the breath work, yeah, like, I think the breath work's good if you're stressed or you need to meditate. But for me, I have a lot of practices that are already sort of balanced my mindset. So for me, I just think slowing down and realizing maybe that, Joe, I'm not jumping into another challenge. It let me decompress quite a lot over the week with the breath work because you're lying there for 100 minutes just breathing. You go through everything in your life. All issues, stress, past relationships, past family moments, what you want for your future, a lot of journal. So just, I really enjoy that time to take a moment and reflect. Like, not for me, but for me, yeah, like, the keeping the cold water in most days is good, but not to the extent of what I was doing because it was probably actually limiting muscle gain, and my next sort of challenge and goal is going to be down that route. So that's it. Well, what else you got, bro?
Next one is, would you recommend it?
It depends what you're going for. And depends where you are. Like, if you were like, I never really do ice baths, I'm looking at a really hard challenge, I'd be like, yeah, I'll probably do it. If you were like, I'm a hardened gym rat and I'm looking at something that's gonna really push me, I'd be like, well, just depends. It all depends on what you do. Me personally, I wouldn't go back. I'm glad I'd done it, but I don't know if I'd recommend it. I know that sounds odd. Like, I think I wouldn't say, I would say it was worth the money for me because I got a wee bit of a challenge and I got a journey, and I'm all about the journey. It's not about the end result. It's the journey that I enjoy, the dips, the warm up, the training part. So for me, I wouldn't say I do or don't. I would say it's a good experience. I would definitely recommend it. Yeah, I would. I'd say go for it because it's a different sort of trip.
I think that's about all our Wim Hof related questions. We have a few other ones, but that's about all the Wim Hof. The one thing
that's I was, do you have anything?
One thing I was actually thinking about was, did you, you know, when you go to these things, like if you know you go to seminars and you've, you know, you go to different things, and you always see the people that's there that's going there because they think it's going to change their lives or it's going to fix their lives. Maybe that could be the better one. Did you notice people were going there sort of like, they were like they wanted saved or something?
Bingo. It was more so they were looking at, it felt like everybody was looking, it felt like a lot of people were looking at answers.
Yeah.
They were looking at epiphany moments. So there's people in corporate jobs that were looking for what they, what the passion would be in their life, or people who, somebody had died to them relatively recently and they were looking like a reason or like a saving block from that, or people that like had issues with mums or kids or certain areas of their life, like where they maybe didn't get, they didn't know what it was. But I feel like the meditation does that more than anything else. But the idea is that when you're in the cold water, it clears your mind, puts you in the best thought process for it. You know, it's the three main pillars, he says, is discipline with ice and breath work, and that will guide you. And I do believe that to some extent does work. Like I do believe you should be meditating or taking downtime every single day, you know, whether it's a 5-minute walk with no input, not walking with podcasts, like 5 minutes decompressing.
I couldn't even do that, I don't think.
Yeah, well, that's it. The problem is society, like I'm guilty of it too. We're like, you go for a walk and you're like, well, I'm not being productive. I'll stick in a podcast, or I'll stick in music, or I'll drive or listen to the radio. But just sitting and letting yourself decompress. Naval Ravikant says this. He says, if you don't take half an hour every single day in silence, what you're doing is allowing your junk and your emails to fill up, but inside your head, you don't know what is primary, what is secondary, what is junk, what is spam. And if you do that for 3 years, of course you can't sit in silence because there's so much junk in your mental inbox that you don't know what the fuck is a good thought, what's a bad, because you spent no time sorting it. And I love that because like I've been really guilty of that. And that's why the first time you meditate or you take silent time, it feels tough because you have so much to sift through. But the more you do it, the more clear way you get, and then it's just keeping on top of it. And then I do that quite a lot now. And I do notice that I usually get my best ideas. I usually contemplate the real things that matter in life, and I usually have much better days whenever I sit in silence for even 5-10 minutes, have a cup of tea, no inputs out my back in my conservatory. Like most days I'll sit in my conservatory with like a cup of peppermint tea or something, take a break for 15 minutes, do it in the morning, do it whenever my mind's clear, not after something stressful. See, to be honest, when I do that I get clear clarity on like, I'm like, right, what is it? And like, for example, like I was able to go, right, well, my mum's turning 60 this year. I was like, right, well, I really enjoy spending time with her. I'm gonna book something. It gives me like, that is probably the highlight of my month this month, is like, I was like, that's what I want to do. So we're taking her away. It's a surprise, so you'll see that on Instagram. But it's like, I wouldn't have got that clarity or that vision from that if I don't take that moment to reflect. And I think you understand that as well, Mickey. It's like that, like you when you don't take that wee bit of a pause, it's tough to get a breath. And me and you both guilty of constant inputs.
Well, that's it. And then when you do take the breath or the step, as I call it, the step back and kind of look at things, you realize how deep in the shit you were or how deeply engrossed you were in the stuff. And it's only when you do take that step back or take that take that bit of time.
Breath,
you just realize that you know you've been sort of a busy fool in your own head. We've got a couple of questions. Wait on the questions. We'll do that 1 second. This one's from Vince. He said he sent it to the both of us. Where is this? 2023, 2024. He sent a few over the years. How do you, subject discussion was not letting others affect your mood, and how do you feel, particularly if you're in a work environment and people are affecting your mood?
You can go first, or I can, I'm easy.
Well, in my thinking, from a work environment wise, you probably can't always choose who you're surrounded by. And I myself, for one, would struggle with that because I like to be in control of my circle as much as possible. How would I not let affect? Just by the just by the way that you would do normal life. Just don't. The long and short of it is they're not that important to the overall outlook of your life. You know, if you have a wife, kids, they're not your family. At the end of the day, they're only work colleagues. And they don't have to be your friends. No, that's the thing that people needs to realize, that you can have just a work relationship and it can be as cold as you want it to be. It can be as warm as you want it to be. If people that you're working with tortures you or just annoys you by the way they're getting on, just remember it's just work. It's not your friends group. It's not whatever it is. It's just work. And hopefully and thankfully, most people can leave work in work and not bring it home with them. And that's what I would say would be what I would do. I just leave it at work, and that's what it is.
Hang your coat up, yeah.
Like, hang your coat up and leave it. Leave, you know, when you leave that office, don't bring it home with you. It's not, you know, at the end of the day, they don't have, nobody in your office has probably any sort of input on your life in general. You know, just because 9 hours a day you have to listen to them, maybe, or listen to them or whatever it is, it doesn't mean that the other 10 hours when you go home or whatever amount of time you have at home, that they have to affect that as well. So I would just say, just learn to leave work in work. Don't bring work home with you, and also don't bring work stresses home with you, or work just, you know, the kind of bullshit that comes with working in a workplace with colleagues.
You can get caught up in the, like, a bad hour then turns it into a bad day, a bad day then turns it into a bad week then turns it into a bad year, bad month, bad mindset. So as Mickey said, it can be difficult to leave it there whenever it's overlapping, and obviously work is a very large part of your life, so that can be difficult. I think that is probably one of the best things. I think as well, saying, like, who I know it sounds cheeky, but like, who cares what they think or what they do, or the more emphasis you put in it, the more power you give that individual over you, and you're letting them control you. For me, with that, I would be reframing this to yourself and go, why what they do, why what they are doing is affecting me so much mentally? Is it because I need their approval? What is the reason it's actually messing with my head? And I think for you, if you find it's emotional and you're going back and forth, what you want to do is you always want to remove yourself from a situation. It's like if two people are escalating, going to fight, and one person isn't shouting and the other person's calm, collect, walking away, that person's in control. The other person's letting their emotions run them. And when you let your emotions run you, it's just not beneficial for you. It's not going to serve you. You're going to feel like you're lacking control. You're going to be emotionally responsive. You're going to feel off. So the best thing you can do is just take time away, do some breathing in the toilet, even if it's just slow and steady, remove yourself, try and unwind to an extent, and then come back, clear thoughts, and just be glad you're not that individual. If they're like, I always think like that when somebody gives me hate online or gives me shit in a workplace environment, I always think, I'm just glad I'm not them, because the way that their life might be because they're jealous or they're aggravated or what's going on in the background, and you don't know, that person could be in a really dark place and that you could be what they're lashing out on or anything. But for me, I think, as Mickey said, trying to let it be and realize that it's just work. Like, yes, it's work, and work's a big part of your life, but it's not the be all and end all. And if you let it affect every area of your life, you're letting one thing take the joy out of so many things for you. Like, really good example is, like, if I'm, say, I'm arguing with my dad, it doesn't flow into the entire day. You see this with people who have bad days at work and they bring it home. Yeah. Or again, the wife has nothing to do with it, the energy is nothing to do with it, and that isn't all. Well, it's like people who dat and go, I'm datting. Like I said, it's like that's a reason for you to be a belly end. It's not, that's just you being a dick, and that's a personality trait. It's like whenever I comp prepped there, I was no issue. Like I had maybe little bits here and there, but you reset, you move forward. The entire time I wasn't going, I'm fucking datting, move out of my way, or this or that. Yes, I was low energy. Yes, maybe a little bit. But to the relative degree that you manage, that comes down to your emotional responsiveness and how you actually are self-aware. So remember, whenever you take that ownership back to you, you take that power, that self-responsibility back to you, it puts the control back in your hands. I think that's the key. Going, ignore what they're doing. What can you control? Ask yourself that, write it out, and then write out protocols for what they do so that if they do X, this is exactly what I do to mellow me out. If they do Y, this is exactly what I do. What do I do to switch off when I come home that I don't bring that home, Joe? Simple things like that. We'll roll on the next one. I think that's a good one, though.
Yeah, you're also just, as Tony says, you're putting value on other people's, you know, other people.
Letting somebody else drive your life.
Like, yeah, this is a lot. About you
realizing it?
It's from Jack. Love the most recent episodes, lads. Question for you both, but wouldn't fit in the box. Any advice on career paths, finding out which is the best for you? Currently traveling at the minute and realizing I will eventually move back to the UK. Unsure whether to go back to similar work I done before or something new, aka one option is more comfortable to do with a university degree versus something new, which I have actually no idea about either. Fairly waffly question, but any thoughts on career prospects paths would be great. Cheers, lads. Keep up the good work. So Jack's traveling at the minute, and then he's got a degree. So should he come back home, go straight into what he's agreed on, or it sounds like he has an idea that he wants to do something fresh?
Don't look for passion.
Yeah.
I think that's the biggest con in the world. You're only passionate about what you're good at. I was never passionate about fitness until I was in cracking shape.
Yeah.
And I was 4 years into the journey. When you're really good at something, you'll get paid well and you'll become passionate over time. The reason that loads of people are getting passionate about fitness is because 9 times out of 10, they're seeing the money now, or they're seeing the lifestyle. And that's why so many online coaches are going out of fucking nowhere. But it's also one of these things where a lot of people, it's the first time, really good example is majority of people suck at everything. And then fitness is one of the first things that most people stick at because there's enough pain that they want to change their body shape. Then they get a little bit of success in this one area of their life and go, I was born for this. You weren't. It was just what you fucking stuck to till you were actually relatively decent at for the first time. And then you think, that's my passion. It just happens to align like that. So the same thing could be said if you learn Spanish. The thing is, whatever you become really good at, you'll become passionate about and you can make a career out of. So for you, it's not about what is the ideal job. For you, it's outlining your values and what aligns with that for you. So what really matters to you? How much money do you really need? How much stress do you need? What job do you actually want? I wouldn't go back to something just because it's comfortable, but I wouldn't be like, I need to start something new.
Yeah.
Like, just ask yourself, what do you actually want to do? What way do you want your life to pan out?
Yeah.
And then just simply start making small action steps towards it.
Yeah, I would say the same. Like, if there's something you really want to do and you're thinking of something you want to do now and you're young, you might need to either get it out of your system now instead of regretting it when you're older, when you might, you know, you might have children or you might have like a mortgage or you might have bigger bills. But if you're having second thoughts about your vocation that you went, you know, you don't want to do what your degree trained you to do, I would say if there's something like it's burning inside you want to try something or you want to go down such a career path, it's probably better to do it now because you don't want to regret not getting a chance to do it later, or go back into doing your university degree course, whatever it is, and then realizing you wasted a couple of years extra. So what I would say is too, as Tony says, you know, don't chase passion. Don't also, everybody's like, if there's a certain job or like, for instance, like everybody wanted to be a PT, like an actual PT in a gym. And then they realize the PTs have to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning and train people 6 to 9 and then train people in the evenings. So all the kind of nice times you're working, you're working around other people's schedules. And then they quickly realize then that wasn't the best thing to do. And then now a lot of ones are just online coaches, which is a lot more better for your lifestyle, but it's still a hell of a lot of work. And a lot of them don't, well, Tony tells you the truth, it's tough work, but a lot of them don't let on that because they want to pretend they have this great hectic lifestyle, but there's 2 days a week or 3 days a week where they have to be dialed in and they have to get shit done. So what I would say is if you're actually going after a certain job or a certain thing, do your work on it now before you come home. You know,
No, 100%, 100%.
Because the coming home part mightn't be the best option as well, you know.
Yeah.
If you're traveling and say you're in a country that you're quite happy that you're in at the minute, doesn't mean that, you know, All I'm saying is make sure you do your, I would do my due diligence now, because you know, you could come home and then realize you want to be there. So do it now while you're already away, and then if you come home, you come home to do what you do. But I would do a lot of homework before jumping into something new. The other thing is too, is this a phase or is this something you really want?
And yes, anything you're committing to, give it 3 years.
Yeah. But also when you go away traveling, you chat to people like that you wouldn't normally chat to back home, and you hear all these mad, exciting stories and exciting things. And exciting.
Grass is greener.
Yeah, and the grass is greener, and these boys are like, this is what you do, and do this and do that.
Crypto traders and fucking everything.
All this fucking madness.
And you get this, Alex Jones, he calls it, it's uninformed optimism, because you join a new trend, and you're like, you hear about all the pros, but then you join it and you realize there's a million wrongs and there's a massive learning curve. And then you realize that it's like every other job, it's a massive amount of time and effort at the start.
Yeah.
And only the experts that are in five, they've done their 10,000 plus reps, are making money.
It's like NFT bros, they're all gone.
Yeah.
Though the crypto boys are still about, because crypto's still doing a bit, but the NFT boys are gone, like. So,
and people are saying that's the next big thing. So
that's the next big
usually
thing.
Two of you hear it's the next big thing, it means it's too late. It's already
if it's the next big, they'll never tell you what the next big thing is until they've made their millions. That's the way it normally works. They've made their millions from their bitcoins and all. They made all their money, and then they start going to the public. Fuck, this is the new investment for you. Here you go, guys. And there they go. You know,
that's a good point. Like, because you do. You have to think, is this going to be a big thing? Is this going to pay off? And then feel the risk getting involved, because whenever it sounds too good to be true, it's because it is too good to be true. It's already passed. Like, by the time people were getting into Bitcoin, it was already at its peak. Like, so like, it's like one of the things where yes, there's still bits and pieces of money to be made, but the people who make the money off that usually make it off the people that get in on the hype. That's always the way.
I'm
actually looking at my eye in this podcast, and one of them's actually fucking closing. I'm trying to reopen here. Anybody watching this on YouTube is probably gonna be like, what the fuck? But if you notice, like, one of my eyes, my right eye, is like half shut there. Whatever cues we got, or what would you like to run through, or do you want to do more next week, or where are we?
I think that's about it for the questions. I think I'm just gonna see if I've been sent any.
I'm happy. I think that was good.
We've been tagged on a wee poster. Shout out to Mark McCann, MMC Coaching.
Fresh. Thank you very much, brother.
Favorite podcast, Without Limits, Ollie Martin. Listen to that. Very good. Modern Wisdom, Chris Wills. Very good. The Bomb Squad podcast, hilarious. The Two Johnnies. They're actually all my favorite podcasts.
There you go. Good taste on us. That's a strong lineup.
That is a strong lineup. Thank
you very much.
Get a bit of everything there. But cheers, guys. And as always,
like, share, review. We appreciate everything. The more you share in your stories, the more that really does mean the world. I really do appreciate that a lot. So does Mickey. Get questions in for next week. Ping them in if you see it.
Next Wednesday, my new song's out as well.
Oh, talk about a plug. So that'll plug. It will be next Wednesday. That's A1. Should you get to plug it again this week's podcast?
Two plugs and then I'm away to New York.
Oh, fucking baby, sit me. Right.
All best the best, guys.
Big love. Thank you.
Bye-bye.